We had like 10 items. That was the last item that we ultimately came before there.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Oliver Lohinka from the Planning Division. Welcome to the DERC meeting of April the 21st. Go around the table for our introductions, please.
Gary Akers, Land Development.
Hernando Patanfo, Public Works, Traffic Engineering.
Ted Brunson, Water Department, Engineering.
Robert Castro, Water Department, Environmental Control.
Travis Martin, Planning Division.
Chantel Power, Planning Division. Elizabeth Mora Rodriguez, Planning Division.
Gracie Johnson, Public Works, Integrated Waste.
Thank you. First item on the agenda.
Sign Pollock, for the first table, please.
Travis, would you please introduce item number one, please?
All right. We actually want to look at both of them together, since they're, almost the same project.
Okay.
For the sake of things. Our first two items today, they're both proposals to build ground-mounted solar facilities. They're located north and south of 6th, just east of Waterman. The site north of 6th is about 18 and a half acres. The site south, they're proposing, it's a larger site, but we're only proposing development on about 5 1/4. Right now, we do have, they are proposing a mitigated negative declaration for this project. That's something that's actually being handled through the City of Riverside, through their utility. When we bring it back for action, we will be acting on what they're proposing to adopt. Today, we're just looking at it kind of for preliminary comments, just to get any major concerns or changes that we may have so that can be incorporated into their environmental document. That's it.
Thank you. Gary, would you like to start us off, please, with land development conditions I believe you have?
Okay, we're going to put those together.
They have received the some initial conditions or preliminary ones, and there was some question as to the off-site improvements and such, and I think that's what are the items that prompted this the need for this meeting.
Right. We're basically asking for the usual conditions, and I assume the draft conditions you received are not a whole lot different than the ones that we're holding in front of you. Overhead utilities, street improvements, curbside sidewalk adjoining 5th Street, driveway permits and approaches, through public works, any existing utilities, of course, would have to be, interfere would be underground, and the usual on-site and off-site permits. Since I think you've had a chance to look at those, do you have specific questions that you wanted to go over at this meeting?
So my name is Matthew Bates. I'm with the City of Riverside, the project proponent, I guess. And so just to kind of get everybody, the utility has well facilities on both of the properties. And these solar facilities will be to offset SCE power for our facilities only. There's no export of power to someone else. We're not selling power to somebody else. So I think the reason we wanted to meet today was to kind of hear some of these more formal conditions. I guess, Charles, if you want to comment to Charles, Stan Schaefer's with SunPower. What we've received as far as more detailed or official draft, I don't know that we've received much of anything except for maybe some verbal conversations, and we wanted to kind of more formalize those in this setting. And so when I spoke to Oliver, this would be the opportunity to hear some of more of those formal comments. So I guess, Charles, if you have any questions based on what you're reading.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to attend the meeting. A couple of questions I had, I guess, is the so we did have the municipal code sections, highlighted and everything that said that this would apply. So the street improvement and the utility that you referred to, when it says which interfere with new construction, Is there a definition of that? I mean, has anyone looked at the drawing and said that this does or doesn't to that effect? Or, because I mean, we're not, like, the existing utilities are to the north or to the south of the array, like all along the road. So, yeah, right. So our actual construction is south or north of that, except for, I guess, some of this road improvement, maybe. Mm-hmm. But so I would deem that doesn't interfere, but I didn't know if that's...
But the community code normally asks you to underground all smaller power poles that are adjacent to your property. So
SCE's poles?
So it would impact the poles that are adjacent, even if your actual construction is, I don't know, whatever number of feet back from the street, that would still impact. That's what the standard conditions in the community code requires. There are certain provisions, if you want to read the Muni Code sections listed, some of those sections may apply for some sort of exception, but in general, those Muni Codes do require that.
As Gary mentioned, there are some provisions for exceptions. I did speak with Laura Wiedemann before she left, and she kind of, when we went through those conditions, she felt that there may be an opportunity to qualify for some of those exemptions, but she... I guess there's a process for that. I'm not aware of what that process or documentation is necessary for that.
I think it requires a letter from SCE.
For the one specific.
Right.
I think the intention is we still have to require the conditions. It's part of the code requirements.
And that's how it works. We're obligated as staff to include whatever our code requires.
Yeah.
And anything that's an exception, or you want to apply for an exemption, that's something that then you come back and you say, well, I don't apply. If there's something that that you take issue with or challenge, the appeal from here would be to the Planning Commission, and at that point you can ask them to just remove conditions if you so desire.
So, I'm assuming Charles is referring to item 2D.
And the C, it looks like. Well, I think it's C, actually, because that's the adjacent, right?
Okay, so C. So, is there a, and maybe it's in the code, so forgive me if the answer isn't there. Is there a kilowatt or voltage? Because typically, sometimes you'll see 33
yes,
kV below.
What
is that threshold?
33 kV.
33, okay. Yeah.
There's a list of, it's about five or six potential exemptions that are in the code. We can get you a copy of that as well. They're not printed on here specifically.
If your poles are, Edison tells us in a letter from Edison that those poles are 33 kV or larger, you're not subject to the adjacent existing pole relocation.
And that would be the letter from Edison.
Right.
Okay. Like I said, there are a few others in there that we can review as well.
I can ask a quick question, sorry, on the sideline, but one of the exemptions does state that any single lot development on residential estate, lower suburban or urban, would be exempt. And one of the two sites, the Shire site, I apologize, I don't know if that's the first or second item, but one of those sites, the Shire site, is a residential suburban.
That would be the second item.
That's
the second item on the agenda?
Yeah, the northern site, the kind of the more irregular shaped.
So, I mean, I guess we can put that in the letter, I guess, as well, right? Just to say that this is classified as zoned as residential suburban.
Right. And, and that code is actually intended for residential uses. It's not intended for commercial uses. If you've got a house,
that's
obviously right. It'd be a burden for an infill single-family residence to move a 12 kV pole with all sorts of utilities out there. So to try to underground that on a 60-foot drive. But there are other exceptions that you might want to look at.
Okay.
What is the exemption process exactly?
Well, go through some of those exemptions and see if you feel that you qualify for those.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if they're 33 kV poles or larger, then of course.
Yeah, from what we've researched on Edison's line and website, it appears that they're a mix of both in certain locations based on the way they've dropped the different rungs, running the wire, running different cabling. So it would be wanting to look at one of the five or six exceptions to see if any of those apply.
Right.
But in terms of if we do feel one is applicable, is there does it come back into this discussion? Is there a form we fill out and apply?
You need to write a letter. I don't want to speak for planning, but you need to write a letter that you feel section C3.2 applies to your property for the following reasons, and then supply it to the planning.
I would say because the exemptions are all unique on their own, there's not one standard, this is what we need.
Okay.
With the 33, you get the letter from Edison. That's the typical example of what we deal with, but okay. I mean, depending on what one you may feel you fall under.
And you can
submit that to me, and then I'll discuss it with land development. We can go back into that. We wouldn't need to come back here specifically for that. We could, possibly set up another meeting outside of this forum to discuss those items.
And we're early on, so we could, that's something that possibly could be accomplished between now and I know you start doing you'll have your hearing on your environmental, document and approval through your agency. And then so when it comes back, a lot of those pieces you may already have in place, and so we could hash that out, during this next month or so, whatever that timing is. And so I don't see that it needs to be something that we do after the fact kind of a thing. We can do it simultaneously with your processing of your environmental document.
Okay. Under 3A, this talks about 6th Street only for a right-of-way and curb. Is 5th Street not?
Is that?
Actually, Condition 3B, I think on page 2 of 3, Condition 3B.
Are we looking? Can we? Why don't we look at 16.01 first? I mean, I know that they have similar comments, but let's talk about let's look at 16.01 and then we could bounce back to 02.
I have 16.02. As far as the paper that was passed around.
Sorry, I have copies of it.
There's two, one of each. I guess there wasn't.
Yeah. They look very
two
similar.
Two separate copies.
So it's easy to mix them up.
So this is Garner's and yours is Shire. We only have one for each site.
Oh, here.
For whatever.
I don't have it.
It's an actual. It's a typo on here.
It's on
the second page of these headings. It's actually 1602. It's correct on the title sheet. Okay. So this is the northern site.
An additional.
Now you're good.
Now you should have both copies.
There you go. Now I got three copies.
Now I got both copies. Okay. Sorry about that.
It was an issue you just
looked at. No, you're right.
It is 1602.
So
the headings on the subsequent pages. Okay.
So we have one, I believe, that's talking about the right-of-way improvements just along 6th Street. I guess that would be the westerly site.
Mm-hmm.
And then the easterly site would be, I think that the improvements asked for on 5th and 6th.
Correct.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. And I see that now on
the site. The intent is not to be different for the two sites. The intent is the same.
So we have questions, we being from the planning staff, on the easterly site, the frontage along 6th Street, there's that berm there. Do you happen to know what the grade differential is between the street and grade on your site?
No, is that where we're speaking about?
Yeah, so along
the south side of 6th.
Yeah, there's kind of that berm, and the power poles kind of sit in that berm.
Yeah, it kind of drops. There's a little bit of a ditch.
There's a dip, and then it goes back up. Is it 3 feet? I mean, it's
eyeball. It's roughly 3 feet.
Yeah, that's what it looks like here. It varies from the 2.5.
Sorry, please. I'm Mita Schild. I'm also.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Apologies.
It's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it appears it varies 2.5 to 3 feet to a little over 3. According to the civil,
do you have an estimation of what the edge of existing pavement is and what the right of way line is?
Existing edge of pavement. I mean, we have it drawn out here. Are you asking? Sorry, off of
6th Street.
Off of 6th Street.
Width or elevation?
The width. Sorry.
Yeah. So current.
Yeah.
Edge of pavement. I'm trying to ascertain. We have the edge of pavement, and then if they're asking for right of way, how much asphalt to the south, I guess, to bring it up, and how much of that is going to cut into that existing berm, and I'm only asking that because I'm thinking of items that we're talking about in terms of landscaping and
I believe where it goes into what he's referring to specifically is...
So the street improvements, you're saying at 32 feet off the center line, where does that put us into?
Does it in
right.
that berm and then how is
does it or how far does it cut into that berm?
Right.
It's hard to tell just with some of the drawings that we have right now. That's not something you would normally outline.
Yeah, I don't know that we...
Yeah, existing 6-inch berm all the way across.
I think we would have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's on here. I just don't have the dimension for it.
Yeah. Because jumping ahead to
it's simply called out.
Travis and I, we've been talking about the you know, and we've had this conversation about the landscaping or the treatment of the fencing and that kind of thing. And we're trying to come up with alternatives and solutions. Travis has some draft conditions from the planning department. They're draft, you know, rough draft. I'll call it. And specifically, we do want to work with you and. You know, the thought is that rather than just, you know, putting a planter all the way around the perimeter of the fence, we'll say, maybe bring something out along the right-of-way kind of a thing. It's more of a screening and shielding. What might that be? You know, kind of a thing. And it would depend on the extent of the street improvements or what's done at the
right-of-way. Part of the intention is to be able to incorporate, we have that existing berm already, so maybe doing something more along the street frontage instead of, you know, kind of more of an island in the middle of the site, where the actual facility is. Okay. If that berm remains, then it's easy to incorporate that into those ideas, depending on how much the street improvement may affect that, then it can change what we're looking at. So we have some ideas there, but they're all kind of fluid, depending on how the site is affected.
So what a cross-section, kind of showing EP right away, where the 32-foot curb and gutter and how that relates to this berm kind of help with some of those decisions?
I would say so.
I think that would be...
And then, you know, frankly, I believe that there's, you know, the issue is the, you know, curb and gutter street improvements there along the, you know, 5th and 6th Street, you know, kind of a thing. And we also want to make sure, you know, what is the transition on both sides, you know, both sides of the property. And sometimes you get anxious about putting in curb and gutter, and then you create flooding on, you know, or ponds on both sides, depending on what you do. We certainly don't want to create that situation. So maybe if you could prepare an exhibit or something that kind of demonstrates that, you know, kind of as a maybe why we should do this, you know, now or whatever the case is. And so we, because we, like I said, we don't want to create a situation that's going to end up worse or, you know, create another problem than what we may already have out there. I mean, we've had other projects where we go along and then all of a sudden you end up with a nice little pond at the end because nothing's going to happen further.
Yeah, for the 01 site, our westerly boundary is the storm channel. Mm-hmm. And so the trend... thinking about, you know, improvements in any sort of transition structure would obviously, I think the pave or the curb and gutter in front of the
first one,
the Garner site, the westerly site. Well, technically both of them would apply, but the I don't think the improvements along the storm channel are at ultimate.
The bridge that's there?
Yeah. I think they're short. So some sort of transition, that's where some of this ponding is very likely to occur.
Right, right.
Okay.
And an option or alternative may be, it may end up a timing issue, you know, in terms of if we can come to some agreement as to, you know, if something were to happen, you know, on both sides later on that, you know, maybe you agree to come back and, you know, match that at some later date. Whether there's a bond that's posted or something that'll say, well, when the rest of the street gets improved, you know, you'll participate in that as well. Anything that you'd like to add, Gary, or
no? Unless they have any other questions at this time, it is a preliminary review, and obviously you can contact us if there's questions. us right now.
Do you have a tentative schedule for taking your CEQA document?
Are we
holding it up?
Yes,
you have a schedule, or yes, we're holding it up?
Both. We were actually proceeding forward with adoption about a 2 months ago.
Okay.
And we then heard about the street improvement requirements, and we pulled it. So that we, literally the day that the agenda was being posted, we pulled the item.
Okay.
So that we wouldn't, because we need to account for some level of improvements within the CEQA document. Currently, the CEQA document does not talk about street improvements. So we pulled the item from moving forward, and we've then since been wanting to try to work out coming before some sort of committee, finding out what these conditions of approval would be, so that we can then assess what revisions need to be made to the MND that has already been out for public review, depending on the conditions, whether or not those trigger us to go back out for re-review, or if the modifications are threshold, they don't trigger any thresholds, and we just make some revisions, explain it in the draft and the staff report, and still move forward with certification.
Who is your CEQA consultant? Who's the...
It's Aspen.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and we could work with them on the wording kind of a thing, so it doesn't, you know, so it doesn't trigger a recirculation kind of an item. You know, you could always, you know, kind of incorporate outside comments as either conditions or, like you mentioned, you covered in your staff report, you know, kind of thing that they are addressed. And so it's just as if we walked up to the podium to, you know, to speak, and you would change things on the fly. It would be kind of similar to that process.
And then that's kind of how we would envision doing it. Our main concern with pulling the items is not fully knowing the extent, and then whether or not the items would trigger any certain thresholds that would then require some re-review.
Okay.
So the street improvements, we kind of understood, again, Oliver, from your and I discussion, mm-hmm. and I think Charles, you've had some talks with Travis about things.
Yes.
So the street improvements, we generally kind of knew were coming. We were hopeful, and I don't know if any other departments have comments or if the course of actions that you go around, okay, we just weren't sure if there was anybody else who had any sort of requirements on the project as well.
I don't know.
Are you continuing at this point or anything?
Yeah, you're not. I don't know if we want to continue around the horn and see if anyone else has anything major that they'd like to.
Our concern is the impact to the traffic this development would bring. So just fill out the form that's there in the guidelines, and that will determine to what extent traffic study we need to do.
So, and correct me, Charles, if I'm wrong, did we provided, I think, Travis email or mm-hmm. something, and there's like two trips a year.
Yeah.
We weren't anticipating any traffic.
Yeah,
generally speaking.
If you're talking construction traffic, that's one thing, but if it's operation traffic, yeah, we come out to watch the panels once a year contractually, maybe twice if needed, and it's just pickup trucks because it's all robotic now. If an inverter goes down, we go out and fix it, or if something goes down. But there's no consistent traffic. We'll be out there less than they probably are for their plan.
Yeah, apparently. And we visit the sites daily because of our facilities.
So we'll be out there way less than that, yeah. I mean, I think the email was like 5 or 6 visits a year maximum.
Yeah, I think I do have that.
So
there's been a lot of that.
So we can't get an off-ramp from them, I guess.
Or the fair share.
Do we still feel...
Is it necessary
to do the scoping still on this, or...?
Just fill out the form.
Just for the sake of
it. Yeah, just so we have it on record.
Okay.
Tim?
Okay. Regarding water, interesting. I believe the southerly site south of 6th Street,
mm-hmm.
You're referring to that as your Garner site,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Our surface area boundary with East Valley Water District, our neighbor to the east, is at 6th Street. So that site, if you needed any services for landscape irrigation, for I doubt you probably would, but if you did need any service there, you would have to request the service from them for that location.
Good to know.
On the north side, that is our service area, and there's a main fronting the project in 6th Street, so if you needed services, it would just be standard requirements, which is an application through customer service. It's also available online. One last point that I want to make, though, is for the Garner site, approximately, it's closer to the, I don't have an exact location, I can provide you with the information, but through your title research, you'll notice that there is an easement, an existing easement that's on that site. Mm-hmm. It's either 20 or 25 feet wide, and it's for San Bernardino Municipal Water Department, and it's for a existing, give me one moment, I apologize, it's for an existing 20-inch water main that runs through that easement from north to south.
Is that more to the east or the west?
Yeah, it's more to the east on that particular side. So it's closer to Pedley, I believe.
And that line is existing?
Yeah, and it's active.
And active.
That's correct. So I just want you to be aware of that because you won't be able to build any permanent structure over that easement.
Do you have as-built so we can get to that?
Probably not because of the age, to be honest with you. We typically don't have record. We have what we refer to as our record drawings, but nothing that shows profile when it's more than 20 years old. And this line looks like it went in 1963. So regarding the site to the north, here's a copy of the standard requirements. That would be for the area that we can serve. Is it Shire?
Site? Shire, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then, Travis, this is a copy for you for your record.
Perfect. So from the water department, there are no
conditions?
Formal conditions. Yeah, it's just more service requirements.
Right, and I want to make you aware of the easements on the...
If it's from the garden. Yeah, absolutely. That's the problem.
Right.
Okay.
That's all I have. Good luck with the project.
Yeah, it's something that San Bernardino should look into. It's saving us quite a bit of money.
Excellent. Let me give you my card just so we can... No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Will this project require any discharge to sewer, any industrial wastewater?
No.
None at all? No connection to sewer needed?
Nope.
There's no habitable structures at all being proposed.
Is there any water generated or used during the solar process? Anything being heated and being discharged at all?
No, just for washing panels.
Dust control, nothing.
And dust control during construction.
When you're washing the panels, where does the wash water go?
Most of it stays within the robot. Some of it runs off the panel. There's a drip line basically at the very end. The robot recycles it and runs it back through, so it's like a tenth of a percent of if you were hosing it down.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it just goes into the soil at that point.
Is there going to be an issue with NPDES or anybody?
Well, the conditions asked for a WQMP erosion control plan. So
okay. Those are all submitted.
We've had those have been routed over already.
Okay.
So those will have to be finalized before construction.
No further comment.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't need trash service. Just kidding.
We're good. No, we'll have our own dumpsters inside.
No comments.
Travis, you have anything to add? Or?
No, I think obviously we'll still have a few questions, but it's...
I'm trying to get on our calendar so we can get with Mark so we can discuss our other items. It'll be next week.
Okay.
I believe he's out of the office on Monday and Tuesday, and on Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
And I'll let you know when that is.
So from an action items, it sounds like some of these questions on the landscape, you need some information from us. So this cross section kind of showing the street, the berm, and where the curb and gutter will exist along
is that 6th Street?
Yes.
Is something you kind of need from us for that discussion with Marcus?
Yes, and it doesn't have to be, you know, engineered in detail.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be just a simple, you know, just to give us an idea of, of what we're dealing with.
Okay.
I would say get that, and then obviously make it through, and you know, we've gone through most of them, but make it through the rest of what we've provided today, and then, you know, we can discuss that once you've had a chance to go over it more thoroughly.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
I'll keep you posted. I'll let you
Were there any separate items for Shire that anyone have? Sorry, I know we kind of started cumulative, then we jumped to individual.
I think they both had the same conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Fundamentally, it's very minor.
What were the water group that you were saying that we would talk to for Garner? Sorry,
I missed that.
East Valley Water District.
Thank you. And then, Travis, some of the required engineering permits and plans, most if not all, that's already been submitted.
Yeah, again, so these are written as standard conditions.
Okay.
I know you guys have done concurrent already, and we do have those. Those are actually kind of on hold in plan check at the moment, because we need to address what some of these comments are going to be to incorporate that into any corrections on plans.
Okay, and one other item I noted on the agenda, the fire department usually has a rep here.
They usually don't make an appearance at the meeting. I'm still working in getting the comments from them, but as soon as I do, I'll provide those.
Okay. Knowing that we have some of these items that need to be resolved as conditions, if we could ask to receive our plan check comments, if you want to call it that, preliminarily, so at least we can move forward with plan preparation. That would be appreciated, and then we can address things and then kind of work out some of these conditions and then submit again, knowing that we have comments, we can submit again addressing some of these other items. So if we could request, you know, buildings, whoever has the various permits for plan check.
We do have them with comments from our plan checker for building side only.
Okay.
As I said, I kind of have them on hold temporarily while we, you know, we're working through a little bit of this. I think maybe we can at least get those comments out.
Right.
Maybe next week at that other meeting we can provide with that.
Okay.
Okay. That'll give us a couple days to still just take another look at it.
Okay. Great.
Thank you so much for your time.
Have a good day. Take care.
Thank you very much, all.
You're welcome. Cleared out the house now. Next item is item number 3. Chantal, will you kindly introduce that item, please?
Yes. Item number 3 is development permit type D16-04. Is it a request to establish and operate a pallet manufacturing, recycling, and distribution facility on a parcel containing approximately 3.31 acres located at 280 South Lena Road within the industrial light zone. The project is categorically exempt from CEQA review pursuant to section 15301 for existing facilities, and today's recommendation is for approval.
Thank you. Would you kindly introduce yourselves for the record, please?
I'm the project proponent, Jim Harley, All Cities Permit Services. And with us is the property owner and business owner, Mr. Sergio Ravelis.
Thank you.
He's got a sore back today.
I'm Andrea Harley Bianchini, also with All Cities Permit Services and representing our client, Sergio.
Thank you. Gary, would you like to start us off, please?
This was actually done as a pre-app originally. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct.
And for today, we don't have any comments on that, but we don't have formal conditions yet for you, but we'll get those for you here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'll have my staff report completed next week, and all of the final conditions will be in.
Was there anything that was significant or there earth-shattering?
Nothing really earth-shattering. One comment that we do have, and Gracie will pick this up as well, but We don't show a trash enclosure on the site. I'm assuming that there's one existing, but if not, that would need to be constructed. And we can, since it's not on the site plan currently, you can submit those with the building permit to construct the block wall.
I thought I was perfect. I guess I'm not.
Sorry, we had to be the ones to
close,
break it.
Close. All right, what I can have you do is, if you want to just add that detail on the site plan and email it over to me, I can review it with Gracie before you submit for the building.
I believe you gave this a standard last time.
Yeah,
probably. Okay, we'll call that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fernando, are we good?
Yeah, these are all existing buildings.
Yes.
Yeah. We're okay.
Wow, we can write the date down. Fernando said it's okay.
Don't scare him, he might change his mind.
It's already on the table.
Thank you. Ted?
I really have no major comments. The site looks like it already has has existing water services.
Yes.
Is there going to be, I wasn't sure, but we're not adding any square footage to it or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no comments. Only thing I would say is that for some reason you needed an additional water service, you can apply.
Okay.
Through the water department, customer service, or on the website for that.
Thank you.
Just want to refresh my memory on this project from the last time I was here. You're dealing with pallets, so I assume you're dealing with forklifts. Forklift repair? Will that be handled? Contracted out?
Current, yeah, that's correct. That's what we do. Current location he has.
Any waste, oil, fluids, all that is hauled offsite.
So you know part of the contract. Yeah, all hazardous stuff. The only thing that's hazardous is a 6-1 container.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Gracie?
So ditto on what Chantal brought out. Yeah, we'll just be looking for the placement of the enclosure. It'll be 8 by 15 interior dimensions. We'll work with planning or land development to modify it for ADA access. And then just so you know, our new exclusive franchise hauler is Vertec, or now, so Bird Trash Services. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of the committee members?
Certainly
don't. Yeah. Yes. You don't
want to
ask
for more?
Wait, no off ramps.
Okay.
Our recommendation is for approval, subject to the ultimate conditions of approval. If I may entertain a motion for approval, please.
So moved.
Second.
If there's any objections, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Working with your staff.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you too.
I have my moments, I guess.
You're welcome.
See you soon.
You get my next
year.
All right. We'll see you. All right.
This item is item number 4. Chantal, will you kindly introduce this one again, please?
Item number 4 is development permit type D, 16-06, a request to allow an expansion. The wording here says of approximately 44,190 square feet, but I think that's to a total of 44,190 square feet.
That's correct.
So I just wanted to make that correction. To an existing commercial building that currently contains 24,000 square feet, along with required on-site and off-site improvements on a parcel containing approximately 4.6 acres, located at 1895 Del Rosa Drive within the commercial general CG1 zone. And this project is categorically exempt from CEQA review pursuant to section 15332 for infill development projects
And again, the recommendation is for approval today.
Do you have any particular conditions of approval that Planning Division is recommending for this? Or?
Same with the last site. It appears that we don't have a trash enclosure called out on our site plans, so we would need to see that prior to building permits being approved.
Would we be able to get the city standard for?
I think Gracie will pass that around.
Yeah. You stole Gracie's spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean we should just start with her?
Yes, yeah. That's fine. Thank you, Chantal. Gary, would you like to add anything with the land development?
Well, actually, some comments are going to change because we actually thought there was going to be 44,000 square foot expansion.
No, that's going to end up being the total. Yeah.
But if your disturbed area is more than 5,000 square feet, you're still subject to a WQMP. So that's going to be a requirement. Our question about the SWIP is may or may not be required depending on how much you're actually going to disturb. If you've got a disturbed area of over an acre, you're going to require a construction SWIP. We're going to ask for upgrading the sidewalk around the perimeter. Is this one parcel of land, or is this more than one parcel?
It is one parcel.
Okay. It's already one parcel now.
Yes.
But we're going to ask that the ADA access, the sidewalk be upgraded around the perimeter of that site. And the driveways, if they're not already ADA accessible bypass driveways, we're going to ask that those be upgraded. We'll require landscaping plans. If planning requires landscaping to be upgraded, those will have to be processed through the land development section. And I don't have comments from Public Works yet on whether or not the street frontages are going to need any kind of slurry coat or repair. So that's about the... And do you have power poles on this frontage?
I believe it's all underground.
Okay. All right. I think that would be on-site and off-site plans required for any sidewalk work or on-site work. And that's about all for right now.
Thank you, Gary. Fernando, anything to add for?
Yes. There's the traffic impact study guidelines. Please fill out the scope study form.
Oh.
And we go from there on how extensive the traffic study would be.
Thank you. Ted, anything to
add? Actually, this is East Valley Water District service area as well, so regarding services to the new project, or just the project in general, you'd have to contact them. I will say that the sewer capacity fees will still be paid to San Bernardino Municipal Water Department based upon the revised plans. You will get some credit for any for the existing structure that's there now. So if you can, you can reach out, contact me, and I can help you with that. We can discuss it a little further in detail outside of this form.
Perfect.
And there'll be the building department representatives not here, but sewer capacity fees must be paid prior to issuance of the building permit. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Dan. Robert, anything to add, please?
I see on the plans there's proposed break rooms. Are they just standard break rooms, hand sink, cooler? Will there be any kitchen involved in this project?
Just microwave and refrigerator.
But yeah, no cooktops or anything like that? No. Okay, just standard. Okay. No further comments.
Thank you. Gracie?
And so, you're aware you need an enclosure.
Surprise!
8x15 interior dimensions. Work with land development to modify to meet ADA entry. So we'll be looking for the location to make sure it's a good location for the driver.
Yeah. And again, if you want to email a detail over to me, I can review it with Gracie prior to submitting for the building permits.
Okay. Just a really quick question. I don't see a cover on this.
Require a cover.
Perfect. Okay.
If you'd like to put one on, we'd be happy to have it, but
might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of the committee members as it relates to your project?
The only thing that we wanted to discuss, and this could be discussed after the meeting, but we have a lot of frontage street and we're showing a lot of setback area. Obviously we have landscape plans right now, but what we want to know is, you know, as you know, this building serves a specific demographic and we do have a problem with homeless people camping out at this site. And we'd like to explore the idea of either eliminating some of the landscaping and putting in hardscape in those setback areas, or basically reducing the typical amount of landscaping that would be required in those setback areas. And we would just like to know if staff would be open to having a conversation about that.
Well, this particular project is actually located in the CG1 zone, which has a required 10-foot setback along street frontages, which is, again, the majority of the site. We can take a look at maybe doing a different kind of landscaping. Do you have something preliminary in mind? Do you have something drawn up for that?
When you're saying eliminate the landscaping or modify it, what are you envisioning?
Concrete paving or gravel paving, something along those lines.
What's there now?
Right now it's
mostly
I'm sure
dirt.
It was,
dirt.
Yeah.
Mostly
I'm sure
dirt
it was planted
right now,
at
yeah.
some point,
yeah.
but yeah, it's dirt
correct.
Basically.
We could potentially do a mix of like decorative rock or decomposed granite with some landscaping. I think we don't want to eliminate the landscaping altogether, but I suppose we could make it a little less comfortable to sleep on.
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. We can go over that. If you want to put together some plans, we'll review them during
okay.
the process. So, yeah.
Thank you. Anything for a question?
No.
Yes, I'm a neighbor.
Okay.
That lives directly across the street to the east of the proposed project. And since the subject of landscaping came up, I'd like to make one quick comment. And that is in the very northeast corner of the location, there is at least one large pine tree. It's about half dead on the top, and the significance of that pine tree is that it's through the years it's been an attractor for people camping out there because it's shaded in the summertime. And I would certainly hope as a resident that any landscape modification would include removing that pine tree, or at least cutting it down so that there would be no shade there and therefore there would not be the attraction in that one corner. And the thing's a fire hazard anyway, because it's at the top of its, the whole top of its, top half, two-thirds of it's dead anyway. And there's other trees adjacent to it. So, I mean, if somebody were camping and they caught the thing on fire, it could be a larger problem.
Okay. Would you kindly state your name for the record, please?
Bruce Clapper.
Thank you very much.
I think we can take a look at that. My only concern is if it's actually in the public right-of-way, we may need to get a permit from and approval from the Public Works Department before actually removing that particular tree. But I can't really tell from the site plan if it actually is in the public right-of-way or not. So we'll just have to review that.
But to answer your earlier question, yes, we'll work with you to come up with some modification. I mean, obviously, we do want to alleviate any issues that may be out there. And so, yes, we'll work with you to come up with something that will work for everyone.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it for me.
Anyone else?
Yes.
For this item, where our recommendation is to approve, subject to conditions of approval that will be forwarded here shortly. I'd like to entertain a motion, if I may, please.
So moved.
Second.
Unless there's any objection, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
I'll have your staff report completing all the final conditions on the next
week. Chantal show today, huh?
Yeah. for directions.
That now brings us to item number 5 on the agenda. Joan Tall, will you kindly introduce this, please?
Item number 5 is pre-application review 16-08, request to develop, establish, and operate an intermodal truck terminal for Swift Transportation within an approximately 7,300 square foot office and maintenance building on a parcel containing approximately 7.09 acres. The project is located on the south side of Orange Show Road, just a little bit west of Tippecanoe Avenue. And east of the flood control zone within the industrial heavy IH zone. The project will require an initial study, but today we're just here for preliminary review. No action is required.
Thank you. Gracie, would you like to start us off, please? So Sean Talbot can steal your thunder.
It's really okay.
You knew that was coming. Yeah. You asked for it.
I was going to do that again. I'm not going to lie.
It's all right. I have a couple questions for Gracie, if that's okay.
Sure.
Swift Transportation, we actually have a national contract with Waste Management, who handles all of our roll-off needs, our recycle needs, our disposal of waste that has to be handled, you know, in environmental manners. And the majority of the waste that's handled is usually metal recycle or waste that needs to be handled by, you know, consultants that know how to handle it and dispose of it correctly. The only actual trash waste would be something that would be picked up municipally is just the small office up front. We very seldom require an actual roll-off or anything of that size. If anything, it's a barrel, and we just tie it in with the Waste Management roll-off boxes. Is there any way that we can ask for a waiver of this 8x15 trash enclosure, which I think is actually bigger than our office space altogether?
Well, okay. So first of all, Vertec Waste has been awarded exclusive franchise for the city of San Bernardino, so they haul all the waste. Mm-hmm. They have exclusive rights to roll-offs as well. So we'll have to work with the Public Works Director on that, as far as your request and your contract with Waste Management.
That would be great.
But your site will need the 8x15 enclosure because you're a commercial site, so you have to have trash service and you'll have a dumpster, not the house barrels.
We just finished a project in the city of Fontana, which was a truck sales facility, which is also a commercial location, and we were able to work with the city of Fontana based on this same statement. They wanted us to build a trash closure that was bigger than our office space, and they worked with us very nicely. And we actually contacted Vertec, and they do provide the gallon, commercial gallon size, the barrels is what they refer to them, and that's the service that we have with them and our Fontana location.
So you'd be requesting an exemption, basically. You'll need to write a letter to the Public Works Director.
Okay. And we have found, even in the city of Fontana, the larger trash enclosures, they do house shelter for homeless people. And we didn't want to, you know, attract some of that. And we understand the purpose of the shelter. It's to enclose it and can prevent roll-off. And we still put the curbs in. We still maintain the runoff of the waste within the structure. It's just much smaller, but still within the requirements. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to give you that waiver.
Public, I got it.
Yeah,
public
so you have, you'll want to include in your letter your contract with Waste Management, how that's what you're asking for, and then also you're requesting an exemption to build a refuse enclosure for this commercial site.
We'll build a refuse enclosure, just not as elaborate, because we won't be requiring that. The actual overhead.
So that would have to be determined, and then based on the outcome.
Okay,
yeah, I'll take
I will
a look
pursue
at that.
Thank you very much, Tracy. I appreciate it.
The Public Works Manager's Chris Alanis, A-L-A-N-I-S. And my contact information is on the handout, so
great. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gracie.
Thank you.
Robert?
I'm going to hand you a list of our plan check procedures. Pretty standard. It always starts with a permit application. The information you provide to us on the permit application will help us determine any pretreatment requirements. There was a maintenance building proposed, so most likely there'll be some type of sand oil interceptor or clarifier, some type of pretreatment device required. It's not mentioned here, but will there be a washdown area? Will any equipment be washed as well?
No.
Okay. Well, like I said, the first step is the application. Submit that to us. We'll review it, determine any pretreatment requirements. If there are any pretreatment requirements, we'll let you know what they are, and we will require a set of plumbing plans. And we'll review and approve those as well. At that point, once the business is open, you'll be issued an industrial wastewater discharge permit.
Yes, understood.
Okay. And that also include annual sample collections and inspections.
And we'll tie that in with our permit that's already established in the state of California for other locations in Harupa Valley, Fontana, and now hopefully everything.
Okay. Like I said, the first step is always the application, so that would be the first thing.
Okay, great.
So.
Thank you, Robert. Ted, anything for us?
Okay. Obviously there is a water main in front of this site, to your project site in Orange Show Road, so it would just be a request for new services through us. That application is available on our website, sbcitywater.org, or you can actually swing by after this meeting is concluded. You can swing by the fifth floor customer service and grab an application. I would recommend fire flow test as well to determine not sure if you're going to need a fire suppression system for your building that you're constructing or not.
I don't know if it's required, but sometimes Swift will incorporate it on their own.
Would be recommended for the sprinkler engine.
Yeah, it'll be required for fire sprinkler.
There you go.
Okay.
And then also there would be sewer capacity fees required for this as well. And so I'm going to give you a copy of our standard requirements of my business card. Please contact me and we can discuss further. I'll need a copy of your approved building plans when you get to that point. If you'd pass this copy to Chantel, please, for her records. Nothing further.
Thank you, Ted. Fernando?
Yeah. I know you've submitted a trip generation report, a preliminary one. Please use the form that's included in that guidelines.
Okay.
That's it.
That's just a scoping to determine whether you're going to do it.
Gary?
Okay. Basically, we're going to require a WKMP, which it looks like you've already, your intent is to do one. You've got a base in that. You are joining the Santa Ana River, obviously, so you may have ESAs on the WKMP to work for environmental sensitive areas. So you're going to have to make sure that's addressed. It looks like your overflow outlet probably will drain to the Santa Ana River, I'm assuming, just by the look of the contours.
If there's an overflow, we've got it sized for the 100-year storm.
Well, as we all know, that over 100-year storm, you don't want to build a basin big enough for a four-day 100-year storm, because it'd take up the whole property.
Right.
So we do require overflows, obviously.
Okay.
And you're not required to treat four-day 100-year storms, but you are required to provide an outlet for them.
Okay.
And if you're draining towards the river, obviously that's a special condition. So I don't think you're going to be able to drain back to Orange Show for anything. Okay. We're going to require that the striping be done. We are going to ask that you try to line up that driveway with the driveway across the street. I don't recall any overhead power lines out there.
There's a traffic signal there.
So you're going to line up with that signal on this proposed driveway?
Yes.
So you're going to have to go through Hernando's group. There's no driveway there now at all, right?
Right.
Okay. So you're going to have to do a signal mod through Hernando's group. And I'm sure he can help you with that part.
Okay.
But other than that, you're disturbing more than acres. You're going to be doing a SWIP, on-site, off-site plans, landscaping plans, processed through land development, and probably some sort of siding and striping out on Rancho. Any sidewalk or accessibility issues with Rancho, we're going to ask that you take care of those.
Okay.
That's about it.
Thank you. Do you have any anticipated, what's your anticipated submittal for your application? Do you have an idea?
Probably in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Do we have
2 or 3 weeks?
The draft initial study?
Who's preparing that for you? Who's doing the, who's your consultant?
Three consultants.
We've got three proposals, and one of the questions was, and I know it was mentioned that it'll be required, and we kind of assumed it would be, do you guys have an actual list of requirements that are required within that study? Because we've got like acoustical, those kind of things. You guys have a specification so we can confirm the actual scope with our consultants?
Well, what I would suggest is if you'd like, you can provide us with the scope of work that you've been, if you're doing a bid process, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I've got two proposals here.
We could look, I don't need to see the back page, what they're charging, that kind of thing, but if we could look at the scope of work to make sure that it covers what we're going to need, and then make whatever suggestions kind of a thing, and that maybe that'll help you.
Okay.
So you're getting the apples and apples, you know, from them.
Exactly.
And then what we also like to do is we'd like to, whoever you select, we'd like to meet with them early on so we can talk about the process. We like to streamline things, especially when it comes to CEQA kind of a thing. And so we have things that we do to kind of help that along, and sometimes understanding, you know how things, you know, are done and how we process it makes it easier to.
And that's exactly why my main purpose of being here today. And like one of the consultants, this is, and I thank you for that, because like one of them's like, well, the city's going to take care of this for me. The city's going to do this, and this, you know, the county's going to do this, and they're going to mail that out, and they're going to send all the notices, and I'm like, ah.
So that's someone that hasn't done anything with the city within the last 7 months. I can tell you that one.
Okay, that's why I wanted to double check. I'm like, are you guys really doing everything that he's saying you're doing? Okay, great.
Who was that? Who was that from?
Helix.
Yeah,
how about CWE? You guys worked with them before?
How about PlaceWorks?
PlaceWorks?
PlaceWorks.
Oh, okay, we got some nods on PlaceWorks. Don't tell them. Just confirm their scope.
I know this is all preliminary, but I just want to clarify that any document that Environmental Control requires needs to be submitted to Environmental Control and not to planning or building. It needs to come directly to us. As
okay.
Well as any plans, anything like that.
Oh, no, thank you for that.
Gracie? Oh,
can I have your card, please? Or your contact information?
Mm-hmm. And then can you give me the address of the Fontana location? Are you using waste management there?
No, that's a truck sales facility, so it's a little bit different. And we went ahead and we worked with Vertex.
Yeah, because they're the hauler there.
That's right, and then that's where we worked a deal with them, so we went with the barrels, the commercial barrels.
Okay, so you're using barrels at the Fontana
site. And we have a custom enclosure.
But you're using them, Vertex, for your service. You don't use waste management in Fontana?
No, we opted in the midst of negotiation that we would pull waste management out because this is a truck sales facility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is where we actually park our trucks to sell. That's me. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gary?
I just had a question. I heard the word recycling. I assume that's all they...
Metal.
Nothing to do with this is a recycling
operation. No, we recycle. Swift is a green company, and we recycle all of our metal. We have very little, like I was saying, like we have very little waste that actually goes to the landfill.
Is that metal from truck repair? Or
Yeah. Cars, things like that.
Okay. So you're going to be repairing on site?
They'll do maintenance. Right. Big, heavy repairs will go to Harupa Valley. But if we have a truck that comes in just needs, you know, some minor maintenance, no body work, that'll all go to Harupa Valley. That's where our body shop is.
Okay.
But routine automotive, or...
Yeah, just routine. If we have a driver that's waiting for a container and a mechanic's just standing there twiddling his thumb, no. That truck goes in, it gets looked at, tires get checked, oils get checked, you know, window washer, lube, you know, just they make sure that no one stands still.
But you have a maintenance mechanic facility on site?
Yeah, well, I believe there's two bays.
Yes.
Yes, two bays.
See it on the bottom right.
Yeah. There's two truck bays. Which is just to basically check the tires, check the oil, make sure the truck is safe, the hydraulic, the, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Minor truck.
Yes, minor, yeah. Okay. No body work. No engine rehauls.
You're stealing the show today.
I have another question. Actually, you know what?
Gracie, you don't say anything for 7 months. You know we're all hungry.
No, I'm just kidding. I've never met before.
The contract that you have with Waste Management, what facility are you referring to where they're hauling roll-offs for you then, if it's not Fontana?
Harupa Valley.
You have a site there?
Yes, we do. Oh. We have actually 7 sites in the state of California.
Okay, the closest would be Harupa Valley.
The largest, and actually a majority of our facilities, is Harupa Valley.
Okay.
And that is a Waste Management location. And then the training school, which is in Fontana, right down Banana, that one's a Waste Management facility. And then the truck sales is the first one that we've actually went to the municipal service, because it's a total different use. The building's only 600 square feet, and it's a lot of trucks.
Okay, so the other sites where you have the contract with Waste Management, is that Waste Management's area, their franchise agreement?
No, we have a national agreement with Waste Management. They're at our New Jersey location, our Virginia location. I mean, we have 52 terminals basically throughout the United States, not in Mexico. I don't know what they do in there, but
yeah. Okay, no, I'm just curious. The sites here may allow Waste Management to haul in those places, and they're not located in areas that are exclusively franchised to a certain
hauler. That is true, and that's why we're discussing what our options are.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You sure?
I think so.
Anything else? There's no requested action on this item. We look forward to seeing your formal application. We'll make sure that it goes through smoothly. So thank you very much.
So we get our environmental consultant. Do you want to meet with them at the time of the application, before the application?
Preferably before the application. We typically like to see the environmental, at least the draft documents, submitted with the formal application, because otherwise it's just going to hold the application process up anyway. We can only get so far in our review without the environmental records.
And that usually drives the schedule, just so you know, the public review period. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the sooner we can get that started, the sooner we get you underway.
Okay, well, who would I give the at least a scope that we have in hand to someone to review to make sure? All right, you got it.
Is this a CUP?
I'm going to give you
This one will be a DPD, but it does require environmental because of the size of the site.
Okay.
You want to start with our requirements early, just to limit the amount of revisions that may be required.
Yeah.
What about concurrent reviews?
Which one? This is your requirement.
The EC officer's car is attached.
You can.
To it,
yeah. We'll just have you sign a whole harmless agreement.
We work with you directly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That concludes our meeting. This time I'd entertain a motion to adjourn to the May 5th at 10 p.m. At 10 a.m.
Sorry.
I said it's Cinco de Mayo day.
Not for me.
So yeah. Motion to adjourn, please.
At least to confirm the scope. That's what we've been going off with.
Thank you. Stand adjourned.